Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me here in studio, I have Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, who always joins me once a week, and we get great information from him. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have, unfortunately, you know, some weeks are light, some weeks are not light. This is a not light week. We have a lot of things to talk about. We had a 29-year-old Pensacola woman charged with aggravated child abuse and resisting arrest at Oakwood Terrace Apartments. What happened?
Well, I mean, what we got a call that there was some children that had some injuries, so we obviously will respond. And we discovered that this woman, and we can't identify victims of child abuse, so I'm not.
So you can't say her name because it's
widely out there anyway, but I cannot say it. So we get there and we determined that what she had done is had disciplined her child rather severely with a metal broomstick, and when the metal broomstick broke, she continued to discipline the child, and that the edges of that now broken metal broomstick ended up cutting the children. They're not life threatening, fortunately, but you know, there's a lot wrong here. You can't do any of that. So she went to jail.
Corporal discipline is legal within limits.
You can
up
discipline
to a point.
Your child, right?
That's right. It's biblical. It's legal in Florida, at least. But there are limits, and child abuse is illegal and is wrong, and you have to know those limits.
Well, I mean, it's this reasonable person standard. Mm-hmm. Is that reasonable to think that, you know, you give your kid a whooping, it's not abusing them, and there's a difference there. And it's one of those things where you know it when you see it, and in this particular case, it was pretty obvious to our deputies.
We had a 47-year-old Pensacola man charged with attempted homicide for hitting somebody over the head with a bat outside the guy's home when he was turning the power back on, I think. Is that how this went?
Yeah, the guy went outside his apartment or his home, and then he was attacked by this individual with a bat. But he knew him. He identified him to us, and so we had, from that moment, we had been looking for him. He had some rather severe injuries from a baseball bat. Why he did it, I don't know. Again, we're not concerned with motive. We use motive as an investigative tool, obviously. Yeah. But why he would have done that, I don't know, and we have not figured that out yet. However, there were serious injuries from a baseball bat. We ended up finding the guy a couple of days later and charging him with that aggravated battery.
To me, a baseball bat is you kill somebody. Like, it's really dangerous. I mean, right. If you're hitting him in the head, obviously, you know, so,
yeah,
I mean, that's
him.
A deadly
that's
weapon.
Attempted, right.
Yeah. Now, the one thing about this case that I just was curious about is, do we know what the guy with the bat, the assailant, had he turned the power off to lure the guy outside? Do we know what was going on there?
Again, that's the thought there, that there's no reason for his power to go out. So
right.
He went outside the apartment, and when you think about it, your power of deductive reasoning, something must have happened outside that lured him outside, and then he was attacked. So, yes, we believe that that's what happened.
I mean, it's a scary thing to imagine, but, you know, word
of
the wise.
He was an acquaintance, so was a beef of some sort.
Right. And then, but, I mean, you know, word of the wise, if something weird happens, it's better to have the ability to defend yourself if you're coming across. I mean, you know, you wouldn't normally think, the power went out in my house, first thing I need to do is grab my gun to go be safe. But, you know, outside your house, if it's at night, who knows? I mean, you know, you want to be safe in case something weird's going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my first thought is most people would probably check their breaker box, which is typically inside their house. In this particular case, I'm assuming that the assailant knew, you know, there may have been an issue with that power, and then also obviously the victim knew what to do.
Yeah.
We knew where to go to check his power.
You guys had an incident that began with FHP, and I guess FHP was pulling somebody over who tried to run a trooper over and then fled, right?
That's my understanding. The Highway Patrol asked for our assistance because they had that individual. He fled in the vehicle, and then he ran, apparently armed with a handgun. I think the trooper saw the handgun. And then he fled into an apartment in Carriage Hills. Luckily, it was his apartment. So we provided whatever assistance that was needed. Obviously, we worked very well with our other partners, certainly our state partners. And they had their SWAT team out there. They apparently the regional SWAT team. I'm not sure if they call it SWAT team. Their response team.
Uh-huh.
And their barricade, their own armored vehicle was there. Happened to be in our area on that date. So they went to the front. Our armored vehicle and our Rook went to the back. And we were able to, we ended up firing some, a couple of rounds. It was on the second floor of the apartment.
Tear gas or bullets or?
No, the gas.
The gas, okay.
We gassed the apartment. But the Rook allows us to lift up to the second floor window, which worked out very well. So we were able to pump a couple of rounds of tear gas. And after a couple hours
it was like 5 hours, right? Wasn't it?
That was a conversation. After tear gas, it only took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably 5 or 10 minutes. And then he came out without further delay.
So that's a success. If your job is to protect life, including especially the life of the people who are suspected of doing bad things, right?
Well, they had been talking to him off and on.
So yeah.
He'd break communication, then he'd get back in communication. I think everyone did a pretty good job of trying to talk him out. And then after a while, it's like, look, dude, you're going to have to come out. We can't wait forever. So then we tried gas, and that obviously worked.
That was very motivational. It always is.
Properly motivated, things happen.
We had a double homicide at the Hotel Del Sol on Highway 29, and you've now arrested somebody in connection with that, right?
Was a double shooting, a single homicide.
Oh, one single homicide. One was killed. Thank you for the correction.
And one suffered relatively minor gunshot wounds. And he has been, as I understand, treated and released. So, yes, we had what we figured out was that there were three individuals in this hotel room, acquaintances of each other. And then for an unknown reason, again, we're struggling with the motivation here, too. One individual pulled out a handgun and fired and shot at both the people. The injuries ultimately killed one of them and seriously injured the other. Then we figured out what he did is he took a backpack and he jumped over a fence to the north. And when he landed, it looks like he may have broken his leg or injured his leg, because you can see on one of our video cameras in the roadway that he's limping away from the scene. So much so that we found him at the hospital being treated for those injuries. And then we took him to the office, sheriff's office, and ultimately to the jail.
And so this is a drug deal. This is just friends. We don't really know.
There's a reason to believe there was a prior drug trade that had been discussed, but I can't say that's what started it, or that was a retaliation for that. But there were drugs involved, but I don't know that was the reason for the shooting.
Okay. Now, this story is awful. Somebody was killed. Somebody was injured, shot in a hotel. But this story has generated an enormous amount of attention online because the age of the person you arrested is?
He's 23.
There is no way on God's green earth that man is 23 years old. If he's a day, he's 50 at least. He looks older than me.
I'll be honest. When I first saw the picture,
this looks like an accounting error, Sheriff.
And I'm like, did we do this right? Is this the right person? I thought maybe it might have been a junior, senior type of a thing with the same name.
Right, or just some kind of a misidentification.
But it was not.
Or somebody typoed it, you know?
I can tell your listeners, those who are looking and have the same thoughts that you did.
I mean, it shared 6,000 times, the picture. So not because of the crime itself, but because the guy...
All I can tell you is maybe it's the city years that have taken this toll.
on our killer. Some people.
It happens away. If you look back
John, have you seen this picture?
Okay, no, I haven't. So, what makes John the expert?
He's the unexposed audience, okay?
He's expert in traffic. That's so pretty much it.
Wow.
In music.
Super he does shade. Good music. Half the music's mine. Keyshawn Warren, date of birth, August 1st of 2002.
There's no way. There is no way.
That guy's at least
23.
All right, now we didn't carbon date him, but I will tell you that he is 23 years old.
Okay, you can only carbon date things that are dead. I don't mean to get technical on you, but okay, that's funny. We did not carbon date him.
But carbon date is kind of a sense where you can age something, you know, determine when it was, how old it was. Never mind.
I think that might be my all time favorite thing you have ever said on the show. We didn't carbon date him. Oh, my God. Okay.
But anyways, if you look on jail view, there was a couple of years ago he was arrested. It's the same guy. Now, again, from 3-4 years, he has aged a bit.
Yeah. And look, I know the family of the victim is possibly listeners or lives in our community. We're not trying to minimize the crime. The crime was horrendous, but I'll just you know, we all had the same exact reaction to this picture. Last thing for you. Oh, not quite the last thing. You have Citizens Law Enforcement Academy coming up, right?
We do. We have one coming up in August. And
how many seats are available?
We have, well, probably 40 seats max. Okay.
How many people want to go?
Probably, I don't know, 300 people want to go. Here's what happens. Like Dream Big program, the Blazer Academy, that when we announce them, they fill up pretty quickly. And then people say, well, I didn't know to look on my Facebook page on that particular date. And so what we have to do is pay attention to our social media, because we'll probably announce the opening here in a couple of weeks.
You're going to do it like a lottery? I mean,
first come, first serve is what we'll
end. People going to camp out and wait for tickets?
No, I don't think it's quite this. It's not what Raising Cane's, whatever they were doing over the last couple of days. It's not that.
At a certain point, you should charge, don't you think? I mean, it costs your department money to put this on. And if there's so much interest, you know, a little money for the foundation? No, can't do it?
Yeah, I'd rather offer this free.
Okay. All right.
To the citizens.
I'm just, you know, 40 people and 300 people and 40 slots is...
Well, 300 was an estimate.
Okay, but I'm sure it's not wrong. It's probably accurate. All right, so I had a listener tell me that they discovered you in action.
Oh, brother.
This was a week ago, last Tuesday, Bauer Road, 10:15 p.m. after a traffic crash. They saw you out directing traffic in the middle of the road. True or false?
That's probably false.
Oh, just somebody looked like you? Your brother?
Yeah, probably. Oh, and I do have a brother, but I
it wasn't Ken?
No, it wouldn't be
you
him.
Weren't, it wasn't
well,
you?
Well, here's a question. No, I don't recall doing that. No.
Oh, all right. I thought we had, well, how long? I thought a, week we had ago? A good story. A week no. ago, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to take credit for it. Probably one of our hardworking deputies out there.
Many bald men look alike.
Looking all muscular. I don't know what that was.
Sporting four stars on his shoulder. Looking all muscular and handsome. Like who?
You said it, I didn't.
All right. Anything else?
I think we've talked about quite a bit.
We have definitely done enough. This is actually, you and I had talked about this last week before we got in the air, and we did not get to talk about it on the radio. The frustration that your officers, that your agency experiences when you do everything right and the conviction doesn't materialize. Mm-hmm. There was a case where, here locally, you had a murder suspect who was on video confessing and got acquitted. Is that true?
Yes. We had an individual that was charged with killing his father. And on the video, the jurors heard him confessed, saying, I shot him. That's basically what happened, and somehow he got acquitted.
And that's all you know?
I don't
know
all the details. We're looking into exactly how that happened. But there was a long conversation, and then a piece of which was – was able to be viewed, the judge allowed to be viewed by the jurors.
Yeah.
And in that piece, as I understand it, he confessed and still was acquitted.
Wow. What does that do to you guys, morale-wise?
Well, I mean, we are, certainly will, we trust the system.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We have to. And so we'll keep moving forward, keep doing the best job that we know how to. We don't always have to agree with the decisions that are made by the jurors. We certainly don't have to agree with every decision made by a judge, if you recall.
Or the prosecutors.
Over the last couple of years,
right.
We've had some disagreements. But I think it's important for me as the sheriff to say, I don't think this was right. I don't agree with it. But again, we're going to move forward with it. We're not going to certainly not point anyone out specifically. You did this.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to know that we're out there working pretty hard, and sometimes it's out of our hands.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, which is ultimately all you really can do, but I can imagine it being pretty frustrating. Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for educating us, keeping us safe. I really appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
Take care.